Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It is the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our tradition for a long time now today to talk about cooking, generally with the same guy, the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. And let me point out, ladies and gentlemen, this is a purely honorary title. It means nothing outside the confines of this studio. But when he is here, we always have a good time exchanging stories and recipes and cooking tips. And we have a good time. And this time around, he said, he would like to talk about cold cucumber soup. Now you might think, well, that's just one thing. And actually, I would have thought that myself before I started looking at it. There are actually a number of variations on this. And then, of course, there are other things that you can do with cucumbers. And at this time of the year, I think a lot of people are looking for cool things, cooling and cool things
exactly.
to put on the table. And this would be one of them. So if you have a recipe or you just like to say hi, whichever, you can give us a call, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
So now, what started you thinking about this?
I went to a friend's house for dinner about 5 days ago, and there indeed was cold cucumber soup, which is where I first learned it, some time ago. Although, it's not a consistent commodity in the way it comes and goes, but it always comes at the best time when it's really hot, and since I learned it some years ago, I've watched the recipe sort of appear in other places and from other places. And I thought, well, it might be interesting because there have to be a lot of people that know more about this or want to know more about it.
All right. Well, sure. Anybody here can call in and give us a recipe. Do all of these – now, I looked at a few recipes. Do all of them either have cream or yogurt? Are there any that don't have any
dairy? Oh, yes. There's buttermilk.
Dairy?
Buttermilk.
Oh, okay. But all that – there's no meat-based cold cucumbers.
No.
These are all soups that have cream, yogurt,
yeah.
milk,
and, well,
something
they,
like
and,
that.
Or, and a chicken broth or a vegetable broth. Because
I think I did see one with the vegetable broth
that you use to grind up the cucumber with. So why don't I tell you the classic recipe that I have learned?
Okay, do that.
This is from Linda Ballard, who is always the first one to cook it, and we know it's going to be there. So that's what started me off on this. Now you know how to when you have a cucumber, there's a stem end. Cut the stem end off and then sort of grind it against the cucumber and it draws out the bitterness of the cucumber. Don't ask me why or how. I know that it does, and I know it's a great tradition in Japan, and I know that Linda uses that same tradition here to just kind of smooth against that, and you get a little foamy color off of it. And then peel the cucumber and then have it and then seed it with a spoon. So you have just the cucumber flesh and not all the seeds and everything, although I have made it in the past, but the seeds interfere. You want this nice, creamy, smooth texture. And chop that up, put it in the cuisinart, and then thin it down with a little bit of chicken broth or vegetable broth or I don't know what else you would use. It wants to have a little bit of flavor to it. So, I mean, not wine, not water, you know, something like that. And grind it up. And then to that you add 1 tablespoon, how much are we using? 4 cucumbers and probably 1.5 cups of broth. And then to each cucumber, 1 tablespoon of white vinegar. And garlic to your taste. Mm-hmm. So all of that is going to be ground up in the cuisinart. And then at the very end, you add a sour cream. And then there's arguments as to whether you use light sour cream or the heavier stuff. And we've found that light sour cream is really quite acceptable. And of course, it's a little bit less in the fat department, and it tastes really, really good. And then that's ground up, and then you chill it and serve it cold. And there is something absolutely refreshing and pleasurable about that. And then mainly my feeling is that, oh boy, we're back to this again. You know, I look forward to it. And it's one of those things like we used to have a situation where as soon as the temperature got to be 70, out came the Pimm's cup. So that was another clue. So that's what this is for, is that it is summer, and mm-hmm. so you take. And then what I found out is that there are many various recipes, variations on the recipes, and some of them will use buttermilk, some of them will use yogurt, and some of them would use maybe another additive to a regular milk. I don't know, something that might curdle it or make it into sour, or even make your own sour milk with more vinegar and milk, make a sour milk, a clabber milk. And that, so somehow that sourness and piquant flavor and the pushing of the garlic and such, they all add to a real nice coolness. Have you ever had cucumber soup?
No, I have not.
Oh, I should have brought some today.
I must say, I'm not really a big fan of the taste of sour cream. I'm not sure this would be an item for me.
There are a lot of people that do not like sour cream. There are. But I would say get over it. Once you taste a cucumber soup, get one with buttermilk. Then they all taste similar, but they do want to be a little bit sour. Mm-hmm. No, there are people that cannot tolerate yogurt or sour cream.
Yeah, well, if you have a recipe to share, I feel like maybe opening it up and saying something else that involves cucumber.
Oh yes,
that would be okay. We don't want to just limit it to cucumber soup. We want to be inclusive.
It's
a big tent. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. I went to my favorite website put in this, and I did get a number of things that were interesting. I should probably do it again. I thought there was one, the one that had beets in it.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I think there was actually one, believe it or not, that had mango.
That's going to be kind of like a salsa. But you see, a lot of them sort of come from that, and then they are ground up some more and made into a soup.
Yes, with beet mousseline, with smoked salmon and dill, with mango, with tomatillo, with avocado, and one that looked like it was maybe more kind of like a gazpacho.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, this is also called white gazpacho. The cucumber soup is called white gazpacho for some funny reason. Well, I guess it's because everything is white, mm-hmm. including white pepper, probably, if you go that far, and white vinegar. So it is that gazpacho kind of taste, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is this native to some particular place?
The whole Middle East uses it. I had when some of our students back in the 70s were in Iran, they came back with some recipes of a soup that was made like this. It was a cold cucumber soup, but I think the difference on that was they used yogurt,
mm-hmm.
and but it's in essence it's exactly the same sort of thing. I saw it was interesting. Then I'm fond of raitas from India. And what are they? Chopped cucumber. You don't even peel that one. Chopped cucumber and chopped banana and some fresh cilantro and yogurt. and that becomes another cooling taste against the hot food. Mm-hmm. So my thought is that probably its intention was to be a buffer against any place with hot food.
Meaning spicy
hot food, yeah. And I should think that would work. So that's where it comes from. And there are a lot of recipes. I thought there'd be some people who might have some of those oddments of recipes in their mind.
All right. Well, again, the number here, if you're in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. It is the first Wednesday of the month. We talk about cooking. The guest here is the band. We like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, and he said this time around, as it is summer, we are not quite to the halfway point here of summer, and we've had plenty of hot weather, and we're going to have more, and I know during summertime, you certainly don't want to turn the oven on. You don't want to have real hot stuff.
No.
You start thinking about al fresco dining, stuff that you can have a cold or room temperature, something that's really cooling, and this is what he says is one of those things that he actually looks forward to in the summertime, and when it arrives, he says, yeah, it's
That's
summer.
It. It's mm-hmm. time.
Is there a particular – does it matter what kind of cucumber you use? Are you a particular partial to certain kinds of cucumbers?
The big cucumber, not the English one. Those are milder and softer, I mean more tender, mm-hmm. and you don't really have to peel that particular one, and that doesn't look very good in the soup. So I know that most people want a great big cucumber you get off the vine. So that is a difference. I would use the chopped cucumber, chopped up with the English cucumber in a lot of other uses.
Mm-hmm. There was I was just thinking about this kind of a Mediterranean salsa. In a manner of speaking, that I've now made a couple of times. Hadn't been in a while, but it was something out of a cookbook of Biba Gaggiano, and it was very good, and it was something that she suggested to pair with a poached salmon that was made essentially with fresh tomato, with cucumbers, with olives, with capers, had some olive oil, I think maybe had some parsley, probably. If there were other herbs you really liked, you could put them in. I don't remember right now if any of it had garlic. Maybe it had garlic. And it was just all chopped. Everything else was just all chopped up.
Chopped up.
Sort of a salsa cruda kind of a poach, all chopped up and put together. And so you poach the salmon, and then you serve it room temperature with this as a condiment. And it's really, really good.
There is another cucumber additive dish that I find in German cooking. Hungarian cooking, and even in some Japanese cooking, where the cucumber is marinated in vinegar and sugar. That's it. Maybe a little water, and that is mixed generally with onions. And so I know that is a great Hungarian dish. It acts exactly as the same. It's a cooler to go along with some paprikash or whatever it is that you have. And that's quite so. And Pennsylvania Dutch folks make that for summer. Always that's the summer salad. But the funny part about that particular salad or whatever you want to call it is that some people, well, my mother would make it and then would never serve it until the day after because she'd let it sit in the icebox for a day. And I always thought, why are you making this and we're not eating it, you know? And she said she didn't like it particularly fresh. And so I remember one of the first times that I ate it, which I would call fresh, you know, it had been made 20 minutes before, was a man of colonies in Iowa. And I was stunned to sort of munch down on a fresh cucumber with tomatoes and onions, which everything else was recognizable except, no, they're supposed to be flabby and soft and marinated and all soaked up in vinegar and such things. So even with that, there's a taste of whether you serve it right away or let it.
Well, does that qualify as a pickle?
You could call it a pickle. And, of course, since it's a cucumber, you could easily call it a pickle. But it's and it might even be called a fresh pickle because it's done right at the moment. I don't know what the Hungarian name of it is, but I know it's a very popular way. And I'm surprised when I, you know, mm-hmm. when I'm expecting to taste this, and all of a sudden it's a familiar taste, but in a very unusual situation. And then the Japanese ones that are they run them through the Ben Reiner that makes the hair, you know. Makes,
oh yes, yeah. Yes.
And so you have that, and then the same vinegar and sugar mixture on that, and that tastes very good. But that wants to be very, very fresh. Mm-hmm. That particular one, and again, it's a counter to other spicy tastes. Yeah. So maybe the cucumber is an anti-spice device.
Well, it has. It's interesting that it does have that sort of a clean, clear taste, so that it would make a good palate cleanser, or maybe just it's cooler. And it does have that thing going for it. So I can think, yeah, it's particularly like with the right, it's really nice.
Yes.
After you have something powerfully hot.
Oh,
to
yes.
Sort of simmer your tongue down. We have a caller coming in here,
good.
I think. Well, maybe not. Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, I give the telephone number again. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Yes, we have been doing some archives lately, but this is a new show.
Oh,
this is not an archive, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Right.
If you want to give us a call.
I feel archived, but
yeah, well, yes, don't we all? Yes, that was our guy at the control board. He was testing the line. I think he was afraid it wasn't even working. So, yes, the phone's working. We know it. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, have you done anything in the way of a departure from the basic recipe that you talked about, or have you always just made it? Like,
well, that? I've tried as soon as I found out about buttermilk, I tried that right away. I'm thinking that buttermilk might. I'm trying to think where buttermilk one comes from. I think Mediterranean used the buttermilk one, and I have tried that. And it's hard for me to say that one is different or other from one another. They're also very similar. That I like the taste of all of them, because what the taste that I want is the sour. So I don't care where it comes from, I never grew up eating yogurt, and I find yogurt very, very difficult to just jump into. You know, everyone's just spooning yogurt down by the bushel basketful, and I find that very difficult to do. It's just not a part of my growing up, except I remember in the 10th grade I was in a tiny town in Kansas, and someone was making yogurt, and I had no idea. They were making yogurt with some light bulbs on top of their piano.
I see.
Well, and it was at the home of Beher Zanzane, who was a very significant painter in Lindsborg, Kansas. And I remember, that's what I remember about the trip to this great man's studio, was that they were doing what? And it showed us, oh, yes, here you have this cloth over it, and the light is doing it, and it's making yogurt. What on earth is that? So I didn't know what that was.
Okay. Well, in those days, you probably couldn't go down to the store and buy yogurt already made.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
To make your own.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No.
See, what happens when you beg for calls, you get calls.
Good.
Now we got some people to talk with. Let's start with Champagne, line number one. Hello.
Hi. The comment about American yogurt being kind of hard to get along with is usually it's too sweet and got too much gelatin.
Oh, yes, yes.
If you do the German Klar, the Klabber,
yes,
that tastes better.
I but, can see that, yes.
Yeah, I like using zucchini with the tomato and onion and vinegar because cucumbers sometimes are not so easily accessible.
Do you shred the zucchini or do you slice it?
Any way you like it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can chunk it, you can grind it, you can... I just do everything very simply.
Well, that's interesting because that you're taking that combination. Do you put vinegar in that as well?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the vinegar and
it has to be sour, and then I like it at room temperature.
At room temperature.
I don't like refrigerated foods.
Oh, okay. Then you would like that a little softer. It softens up when it, at room temperature, doesn't it?
A bit, but then I also toss in the hot pepper sauce.
Oh, all right.
Tabasco.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I like a bite.
That sounds good. Well, yeah. Thank you very much.
See you later.
All right, thanks for the call. We'll talk next with someone in Urbana. This is line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
How about a beet soup that tastes like cucumbers?
Well, I like the idea. Now, what would that be? Yeah.
S-A-L-T-I-B-A-R-S-C-I-A-I.
S-C-I-A-I.
Okay. It's Lithuanian.
I see.
And I've never made this, but I used to eat it. It was a big part of, used to go to a friend's Lithuanian Christmas
yes.
Eve dinners with the 13 meatless dishes. And this poochy pink soup is the only way that I have ever
eaten. It would come out pink, wouldn't it?
It's the only way I've ever eaten beets and liked them.
Huh.
Because it tastes like cucumbers.
Now, is it only beets or is there cucumber in it?
There's a cucumber
in there it. There is cucumber in it.
I've got the recipe here.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, take 3 large beets, boiled and skinned, or 2 small cans of sliced beets. 5 hard-boiled eggs.
5 hard-boiled eggs, yes.
1 large cucumber. 12 ounces of sour cream, lemon juice, dill weed, chives.
Oh, dill weed, yeah.
Chives.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, pepper, 1 small onion.
And a small onion, yes.
And 1 quart of pre-boiled and cooled water.
Oh.
I'm reading this directly from
yes.
the recipe that she got from her grandmother.
Boiled water cooled.
Yeah. In a large bowl, pour the juice from the cans of beets, if you are using the canned variety.
Mm-hmm.
Slice beets into pieces about this shape, and it's a matchstick size.
Oh, okay, so they're going to be julienne, yes?
Yeah, only shorter. Like okay. You cut your matchstick into 3 pieces.
Uh-huh.
Dice cucumber into pieces even smaller.
Okay, diced, yes.
Add to bowl, chop the eggs and add to bowl. Salt and pepper to taste.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the level of the liquid to the point you desire using the pre-boiled water.
Oh, okay.
And refrigerate for at least 6 hours or until the beets taste more like cucumbers and the egg whites are hot pink.
Ooh.
It's best to refrigerate overnight. The colder the soup is, the better it tastes.
Uh-huh.
Some people are known to put ice cubes in their soup, but in Marquette Park, this is considered uncouth.
Well, then there must be the right way to do it. Oh, okay. That's good.
To serve in a separate bowl, add soup slowly to the sour cream and beat out all the lumps. And I think that she actually did this with either a blender or an electric mixer.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And stir the sour cream mix in with the rest of the soup.
Hmm.
Taste it. Adjust the seasonings, usually adding more lemon juice.
Oh, lemon juice, yes.
Okay. Did I miss the lemon juice
Yes,
part?
You did.
Okay. Okay, we've got salt and pepper to taste. Bring the level of liquid to the point you desire using the pre-boiled water. Add about a quarter cup of lemon juice.
Okay.
Sprinkle with the dill and chives.
And the dill and the chives, yeah.
Refrigerate for at least 6 hours. And then I got the rest of it right. Add soup slowly to the sour cream and beat all the lumps. Stir the sour cream mix in with the rest of the soup. And that's what I don't understand. Taste it, adjust seasonings. Adding more lemon juice enhances the flavor. And you can either serve it with a hot boiled potato sitting in the middle of your
bowl. Oh, my.
Or with rye bread. I think that she always used rye bread.
And that was then floating on the soup, the rye bread?
No, you just
ate it. Oh, do you eat it with it? Oh, okay. Eat it with it. Okay. That's good. Well,
it tasted wonderful, and I hate beets. and it was this amazing poochy pink.
But then you were having that in the summertime when it was hot. And
no, it was Christmas Eve. Well, she made it in the summertime too, but it was usually part of the Christmas Eve dinner.
Christmas Eve dinner, okay.
Where they have they traditionally serve 13 meatless dishes.
Oh, yes. I know about the 7 fishes in Italy.
Yeah, well, this
13 meatless dishes, yes, because that's a fast night.
And
Christmas Eve.
What you got something that before it as part of the celebration, you got something that looked like a great big communion wafer.
Oh, yes.
And you broke off bits of it. You walked around the table. Everybody was walking around. And you exchanged bits of communion wafer and embraced and kissed everybody that you exchanged.
I see that was a big celebration then.
Yeah.
And that's before Mass at night.
Well, these people didn't go to Mass.
Oh. They just had supper.
They just had supper. and it was usually a lot of their close friends from in town and a lot of foreign students and, people who didn't have any place else to go on things. It was a very eclectic group of people.
Uh-huh.
And we often had Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and other assorted people.
Oh, my. Well, they all enjoyed it, I'll bet.
Yes.
Even I'll bet that was pretty.
Either fish or vegetables.
I'll bet that was very pretty. I can imagine those pink eggs. I do like beet juice with eggs. That's another. They're a beautiful pink, Dave. They're lovely.
You say I'm now making a skeptical face. That's how he's responding.
Skeptical
to me.
Skeptical face.
No, seriously.
When I actually looked at the list of ingredients, I kind of went gack.
Yes, you would. You know, potato, boiled eggs, beets, sour cream. And then some freshly boiled water. Well, that's a wonderful recipe. I don't know that, and I'm very happy to learn that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
Bye.
So now, how is that so different from borscht?
It's sour. Not. Now that I think about it, because borscht can have sour cream, or it can have all beet juice, or so... It comes from that with a slight variation, and probably I would imagine the cucumber diced in it is not in borscht.
No,
although no. I'll bet you there is one that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was what it could be. That's an amazing Lithuanian dish for Christmas.
Next Christmas,
I'll have to have that. Yeah, come over and we'll have hard boiled eggs and cucumbers.
We're a little bit past the midpoint here.
Oops.
This hour of focus, it's the first Wednesday we're talking about food, as we have done for a long time, with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And he started off saying he would be interested in hearing if people like to make cold cucumber soup in the summer and what some of the variations are for it. And we've talked about a couple of those things. And then I just said, well, to make it more interesting and to open things up, I said, anything you got with cucumbers, go ahead, give us a call. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Next, we'll talk with someone in Paris. Line number four. Hello.
Hello, it's Pamela in Paris. I have a related question.
Yes.
I remember a program of Doyle's on figs 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, yes.
And I haven't been able to take advantage of listening, and I'm enchanted. I think he's an outstanding person. And I just so charming. Oh, taking tops off cucumbers, rubbing them to get whatever it is out.
Yes.
Related question with eggplants. Is that all necessary? In Italy, they drain them and so on.
Eggplants generally are sliced, peeled, sliced and salted, and with the intent of taking the bitterness out of the eggplant.
Yeah.
I myself have never found the eggplant that bitter, or maybe I just hurry up and get through it because I found that it made it awfully soft. If the salt and the salt water make the eggplant very soft, and I wanted them a little firmer than that, so I just never bother with that.
In Rome, Italy.
Yes,
my husband's from there.
And
it's the rite of draining the eggplant, and sometimes it's tilted in a colander or on a cake rack or something. And
oh, I see.
One wondered, you know, the thing sits out there.
I know that that's the purpose, and then probably there are various techniques for doing that, but I just kind of ignore it.
I see.
I like to cook with eggplant very much. I like ratatouilles caponata. I wouldn't make a caponata with salt in it because I wouldn't want that much salt.
And is there a variation of flavors in the sizes of eggplant?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And puzzled, and then I give up.
Well, you see, you get a large eggplant, the kind that's very popular here, and they are very fleshy and a lot of flesh.
Uh-huh.
And you get the little Japanese ones, and they're tighter, harder, and there isn't as much flesh. And you sort of eat them as a different texture because they are often sliced very thin. Thinly, lengthwise, and you eat them sometimes as a pickle or as a grilled vegetable. But they're firmer than the big.
They're magical. In New York, on 72nd Street and Broadway,
yeah.
For a while, there was a wonderful Japanese restaurant, and the tiny eggplants was some kind of unbelievable sauce. It was memorable, and of course they're gone. But I thought, my goodness, you could do a lot with eggplant.
A firmer one yet is the little round green one with white stripes on it that is from Thailand.
Look, Dominic's.
Exactly.
In
yes, exactly.
And what do you do with that little?
Well, that one is chopped up and put into. A lamb green curry.
I see.
But it too is a little stronger in flesh. It isn't quite as weak as these big purple ones.
Well, it was so exotic.
Oh, they are indeed.
And that Dominic's, I'm surprised. It's such a dumb name.
Ah.
But they have exquisite things there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other question, because I know there are other people, freezing vegetable soups, vegetable-based.
Yes.
Can that be done?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, with great ease, because if it's a soup and you've already started it and have made the soup and you want to save it, you can freeze it easily because it's all cooked and things are sort of breaking down. And so it's when you have things that aren't cooked and you freeze them and then they become too wet and sloppy when you thaw them. So if you've got a soup already made, it'll freeze beautifully.
It's the uncooked things that are
they get into trouble.
More or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're just delightful.
Well, thank you.
I thought it was Tuesdays, but it's Wednesdays.
It's Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
Nope, it's been Wednesdays.
Oh, boy.
29 years now.
Well, now I'll have to alter my life.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
All
bye-bye. Right.
Thanks for the call. We have about 15 minutes
left.
Don't compliment him too much. It gives him the vapors. But he's the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore.
Chef in reticence.
No, nothing reticent about him. That's what we always say. He is here on the first Wednesday, always Wednesday, of every month at 10 o'clock, and we talk about cooking, and we always have a good time picking some subject, and the inspiration descends from heaven. And,
it's true.
He says, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we exchange stories and recipes and always have a good time. And he said this time around, cold cucumber soup was what he wanted to talk about because it's a good summer thing, a cooling summer thing. So if you have a recipe for that, or could be anything that has to do with cucumbers or anything, call us, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us, so we'll pay for the call. That's 800 800- 800-222-9455. I think we're getting somebody else lined up here.
Oh, good.
And we will do that. The caller is in Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hi. You know, cucumbers I love, but I can't eat them with anything other than just like, you know, salad dressing or something like that. But I did recently make a great batch of ceviche.
Oh.
But a little bit different than the usual kind, but it's great for a summertime appetizer. And in fact, my husband said it was almost kind of like a soup by the time I finished it. But it was a pretty simple, I just kind of thought about what, I had eaten it somewhere and I thought about, well, you know, what did it have in it? And I just kind of made it up. So I put a can, it was like a 12-ounce can of V8 juice.
Yes.
And then I mixed in a half pound of shrimp, kind of larger with the tails on, so you can grab it. I guess if you wanted to have more of a soup, you could actually just do some different kinds of seafood and chop it up a little bit more. And then threw in an avocado diced up and nicely ripened, of course. And then a splash of Tabasco.
Tabasco, yes.
And then some onion, maybe about half an onion. And then, of course,
diced or sliced or what?
Onion diced. And
diced,
then
yes.
A few, I didn't, I when I had it, the person who made it put some tomato, chopped tomato, but I didn't do that. And it was fine, just with the VH.
Mm-hmm.
And then put in about, it was probably about a quarter cup of lime juice.
All right.
And then cilantro to
and
taste. I mean, I know some people can't handle too much, and, you know, you put in as much as you like. We like a lot, so.
you like those old dirty socks.
I didn't even measure. I just took a big sprig of it and chopped it up and stuck it in there. And then took a couple of limes and chopped those up and just kind of sprinkled them around. And stirred around. We found when we ate it within an hour, it was okay. It was fine to eat. But it actually was better like the next day.
So oh, yes.
They chewing in there and really... and, you know, you could easily see that as like a gazpacho almost. But with just the seafood. And so you could, I think if you put a little bit more liquid in there, it'd be more of a soup, or you do less of it and it's more of an appetizer, kind of a side dish thing.
I suggest that when you're getting that 12-ounce can of V8, get the hot spicy one.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You'll never want anything else.
Really?
Because with all the things you've got here, it's absolutely made for it.
Okay.
And you'll be surprised about how complex that becomes.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, we didn't throw any peppers. One of the recipes I looked up in an old cookbook I had called for a lot more choppy.
Oh, yes.
And a lot more peppers, like actual jalapeno peppers, but we didn't want it for that. So that's why I kind of just modify things a bit. And it turned out fine with just enough of a splash of Tabasco. But you're thinking that if I put this
V8 hot spicy.
Okay, but it's,
you'll
so
like
it.
Really
it's, that spicy?
Oh, no, it's not. I think it's for people who want margaritas and they don't want to have to worry about it. It's already made.
Okay.
I use it myself in making gazpacho.
Okay.
And I don't put anything else in it. No more hot spices or anything. Everything is in that can. I like it very much.
Oh, good. Well, you know, one thing about the cucumbers, we like to use the little pickling cucumbers for our salads.
Oh, in the salads, yes.
Yeah, because there's just something, they're a little bit crunchier.
They're crunchier.
And the, you know, usual.
And tender.
And tender. And so they just complement a salad much better than the usual, you know, those big slicing kind of cucumbers.
Yes.
And I grew up, my summers I spent on the farm, and we would just go out every morning and pick the ones that were out there.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's what I was used to.
That's good.
Those are always the best.
Yes, indeed.
So, well, that was just my, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
That helped. Okay.
That's great.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for the call. Everything's better if you could just walk out in the field and pick it.
Oh, you like that, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk with someone in Gilman, line number two. Hello.
Hi, this is Jason.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a quick question. With gyro sandwiches, I've always liked a cucumber sauce.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not sure how to prepare one.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm not exactly certain either. I think it's yogurt-based, and I think it's chopped cucumber and yogurt, but I can't remember whether you make it hot or if there's oregano in it. If it's Greek, I should think there might be some oregano. I bet if you mixed up some yogurt and chopped cucumber and oregano, and I don't know about hot, what you would do in it for hot. I don't know that it is hot. I think that you might come up with something pretty close. What is that sauce called? It starts with either a T or an S.
Tzatziki?
Yes. That sounds like it.
Well, thank you.
We'll see if we can come up with a recipe for you. Maybe there's somebody else listening who
I think
call
that's,
and tell
that's
us
what
how to
it
do.
Is. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. Others' questions are certainly welcome. If you can answer that food question or others, 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Y'all just go on without me. I'm just web surfing here.
Well, you know, there's some other possibilities. The flesh of a cucumber. With certain liquids, you could probably freeze into a pretty refreshing taste. I wonder how that would be as a palate cleanser between a couple of things like that. And then you could make it hot and spicy. It might be pretty good. So it's a possibility to mix a new recipe up.
I think maybe we're getting another call in here. I don't know. Here, well, I come up with recipes for this, but they have tomato in them, and I'm not sure that that's really what it is that the caller was thinking about. I guess when I have had it, I thought it was something relatively plain, cucumber, onion, yogurt, and there didn't seem to be much more going on in it.
That's why I couldn't recognize it as something hot. It's kind of something to meld the meat together.
Here's one, and it's just cucumber, tomato, tzatziki, and it's got yogurt, it's got cucumber, it has some fresh dill, it has some garlic, and it has a tomato.
Oh, garlic. Yeah, garlic.
So if you liked, if you were looking for that taste and you liked the tomato, you do that. Otherwise, I suppose you could leave out the tomato, and essentially I think you'd kind of have it there.
Yeah, garlic and yogurt.
All right. We have about 5 minutes left in the program, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. It's our monthly show on cooking, and Doyle Moore is the guest, and we were just talking about cucumber. What else comes to mind?
Well, I'm trying to think. I want to investigate cooked cucumbers more. I think that there's a Chinese way of dealing with cucumber that you stir fry, and they would be just a little bit crisp, but they would also be yielding a little bit because they'd be heated up. And I've always thought, a cucumber is a squash, and it's a new world taste. You know, it's not it's not something we're going to find in a lot of heavy European cooking, but it does exist there because the Portuguese managed to get it all over the rest of the world after a while. And I've always tried to relate the idea of the cucumber to squash and thought about things that might be very similar. And the only thing I can come up with is this, not braised. Ooh, a braised cucumber would be good. With a little bit of chicken broth or vegetable broth and braise it. You could probably sear it so it's a little bit brown in butter, and then put a nice broth to it and braise it. Braised cucumber. Hmm. How about that? What would that go with? Well, that'd be good with pork. And it would be good with beef too.
I would be a little bit afraid that it might end up getting kind of bitter when it was cooked. I don't know. I can't
put some sugar in it. Well, that's
okay.
That's one of the things against bitterness. Yeah, put some sugar in it then, or vinegar, and that's sour. That's not bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find some. Yeah, that would make an interesting sauce. Braised, because you can braise a lot of vegetables. You know, celeries and squashes and things like that. So why not a cucumber?
So cucumber is a squash.
Yeah,
So it would kind of be a relative of the zucchini.
Exactly, exactly. Which why I wasn't surprised when he said he liked to have zucchini. And then you could have, take the zucchini boats, you know,
uh-huh.
And that they like to put sausage mixture inside and stuff them and bake them. So maybe a cucumber that you have hollowed out the center and stuff it and bake it. That would be a good taste. So keep them coming.
I'm just now thinking of something Linda Ballard said to me about you one day. It was a long time ago. We were talking about you were talking about the show, and she said something like, "You know, he just makes it all up." And I said, "Yeah, I guess I sort of knew that, but we didn't care."
But we didn't care.
That's what pioneering is all about.
Well, it gets us.
That's what invention is all about.
It gets us ahead.
It's making
anyway.
Stuff up. We got a caller coming in here, and we'll see if we can get him in the time that remains. And we have time for maybe one or two. And caller's in Urbana, and this is line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was reminded of something I make when I heard the beet soup recipe. It actually doesn't. Let me turn my radio down just a second. It doesn't actually have cucumbers, but you could put them in, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a potato salad with beets. You just boil your potatoes and your beets, and I use fairly large chunks and also a hard-boiled egg. Actually, I usually just use those three ingredients with a little mayo and a little dill.
Yeah.
And you could add a little onion, a little cucumber if you wanted. It's a very nice summer salad.
That would be a nice summer salad. Potato salad with beets,
uh-huh.
And a hard-boiled egg, yes. Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. I just made up the recipe.
Oh, well, see?
She just made it up.
Other people make things up, too.
Right. So.
It sounds like these borscht things that where beets are an additive. You know, it sounds like it might even be a good Russian salad.
And it does give that nice pink color that
yes.
you talked about.
Oh, yes. Yes. A hard-boiled egg. And then what? Mayonnaise, is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can kind of treat it however you would potato salad that you like. I just use that very simple method. I suppose you could put a little mustard or whatever other flavorings you want in it. But just the basic three ingredients of the potatoes, beets, and hard-boiled egg with, and whatever dressing, and I like the dill with it.
Oh, yeah, dill weed, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good, yes. Let me get that written
down. Oh, you could throw in cucumber, I suppose, if you wanted, and then...
I think I'd dice it for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, instead of the slices.
If you like that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much. Potato salad and beets and hard-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Oh,
well, thank you.
I do that. That's an interesting idea. I guess I wouldn't have thought about putting beets in potato salad, but why not? They're root vegetables. They like to live together.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't know.
Besides, it makes them pink.
Yes, I suppose it would do that, wouldn't it? One day we should do a show on potato salad.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. I was laughing about potato salad last night. I was telling about in my life, potato salad was what we always had on Monday because Mother used the mashed potatoes from Sunday dinner and made potato salad out of mashed potatoes and mustard.
Now, wait a minute. How do you make potato salad with mashed potatoes?
You get some mashed potatoes and you put mustard in it. And then some chopped up celery. And instead of chopped up gherkins or anything, she used her her pickle relish that she'd make, and it was all very tiny. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it was like yellow mashed potatoes, and I ate that for years and years and years until we drove off to California in 1942, and there's the first time that I met a ripe California olive, which was not available in Kansas or Oklahoma at that time, and a potato salad. When I said to Mother, "Can you believe that
these people think this is potato?
They actually cooked a potato for potato salad and made this thick, I mean, big chunky potato salad. I mean, I have learned since to enjoy that particular thing, and I find I find mashed potato salad almost non-existent anymore. I don't make it, but I always laugh about that because it was what we had left over.
And did you have this at room temperature?
No, it would be chilled.
Or cold. Oh,
okay. It'd be chilled. Uh-huh. But I'm trying to think about, my gosh, how many potatoes did she mash in order to make sure that there was enough to make potato salad and that we would have that for two meals at least. You know, in those days you had a new something and two old somethings, mm-hmm. and you had to get rid of the third old something so that you could have, you know, keep everything going in groups of three or four, but they would sift themselves out. That's the way I grew up.
Right. Well, if you happen to have been raised that way,
that's exactly it.
That's how I'm cooking.
I don't have any choice. That was it.
Well, we have used the time here. We've managed to do it again, and we will do it again next month. Will you be here in August?
I was thinking I wouldn't be here in August, but I will be here in September.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do something else next month.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm thinking I want to be in Wyoming.
Oh, well, that would be a good place to be.
Or Dallas, Texas. I have to be in one or the other.
Well, then we'll probably see you in September.
Try to remember that day in September.